Welcome to Understanding the Scriptures with Dr. David Kinlow II, Senior Pastor at Word of God Community Church in Canton, Ohio. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 13, Jesus asks his disciples a very important question. Asking that same question today to various people would produce the same answer. Asking true followers of Christ may get the right response, but that response may not be how they truly live, so it is not what they truly believe. Let's listen and learn.
Who do men say Jesus is? Matthew 16, 13 through 17. Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, a great city founded by Philip of Macedonia II, who I believe was the father of Alexander the Great. His name was Philippi, Caesarea after Augustus Caesar. There was a great temple in this city dedicated to Caesar, thus the name Caesarea Philippi. So now when Jesus came to the district at Caesarea Philippi, he was asking his disciples, saying, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, and others Elijah, but still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." And he said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Messiah, the anointed one of God, the Son of the living God." Verse 17, read.
And Jesus said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven."
And God's people say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. In this passage, Jesus asked his disciples the most important question of all questions in the recorded history of man up to the present. That is, he asked the disciples, "Who do people say that I, the Son of Man, is?" I love the way it reads in the 1611 King James Bible. "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And you know, the King James Bible, I know it's, some say, from not the best manuscripts to receive text, but I still love to read it. I think it contains about 70% of the English language, so I think every Christian would do yourself well if for once in your life, sit down and read through the Bible in the King James Version. That's just me. I read through that, and I've read the New King James, and I've read through something probably most of you know nothing of, the American Standard of 1901, NIV, quite a few times, but I still love the King James Bible. So I like it when it says, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And I say this is the most important question of all questions because the answer is of eternal consequences. You see, if one does not answer the question correctly about who Jesus is, one can suffer the eternal consequence of eternal separation from God in the torment of outer darkness, a place of weeping and the gnashing of teeth. I believe the ultimate example of this is Judas Iscariot. For he got it wrong about who Jesus was, and as a result, he sold the Lord to his enemies for 30 pieces of silver, and he did it to his own destruction as he dangled from a rope he tied around his neck and committed suicide. And we know Judas was a lost soul through the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, when after Judas betrayed him, as recorded in Matthew 26, 24 through 25, said this, "The Son of Man is going just as it was written of him. But woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that man if he had not been born." That doesn't sound like Judas was heaven bound to me. And Judas, who was betraying him, answered and said, "Surely not I, Rabbi." Jesus said to him, "You yourself said it." It is even spiritually destructive for those who profess Christ as Messiah and Savior to incorrectly answer Jesus' question, who do people say the Son of Man is? And I say this because if one cannot answer this question correctly, it is highly possible that they are trusting in another Jesus that is foreign to the Holy Scriptures. Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Holy Trinity, he speaks of this in 2 Corinthians 11, 1 through 4. And it reads like this. Paul says, I wish that you would bear with me in a little foolishness, but indeed you are bearing with me, for I am jealous of you with a godly jealousy, for I betrothed you to one husband so that I might present you as a pure virgin to Christ. But I fear that as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, your minds will be corrupted from the simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ. For if one comes to you and preaches another Jesus, whom we did not preach, or you receive a different spirit which you did not receive, that's the series right there. You received the spirit that you did not receive. I don't, this new Holy Ghost, I don't know who he is. I have no idea who this new Holy Ghost is that people are saying today that's acting in all kind of funny ways that is contrary to the word of the true and living God, the very word he inspired holy men to write without error and infallibly in order that we could have the voice of God right in our hands at all time. Another series, I may go there soon. Or you receive a different spirit which you did not receive, or a different gospel which you did not accept. Paul says, you bear this beautifully. In other words, he's saying, you know, you listen to all of these false apostles and false ministers, and he says, you seem to bear them beautifully. You seem to not be bothered by them. You seem to be saying amen with all of their nonsense. Well, when a professed Christian is deceived as Eve was by Satan, and their minds are corrupted by receiving another Jesus the apostles did not preach, the consequences are by necessity negative and grave. Nothing good can happen in your spiritual life that always seeps over into your natural life if you have been deceived by Satan as Eve was deceived by Satan. So Paul says, if you are listening to somebody preach another Jesus, that's really what has happened to you. In spite of the seriousness of answering Jesus' question, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? The scriptures and church history clearly reveal way too many did not and even cannot today answer this question correctly. The inability for way too many to answer Jesus' question, who do people say the Son of Man is, was a major issue in the first century, the second century, the third century, the fourth century, the fifth century, the sixth century, the seventh century, the eighth century, the 10th century, the 11th century, the 12th century, the 14th century, the 15th century, the 16th century, the 17th century, the 18th century, the 19th century, and 20th centuries AD, and it is a problem 24 years into the 21st century AD. The central question still is, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And I say that because man, males and females are the human species and nothing else but that, from the religious to the secular, have not in the past and now in the present been able to answer Jesus' question correctly, the question that asks, who do people say the Son of Man is, or who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And I say this because the various religious perspectives on Jesus vary amongst religions, and the various perspectives on Jesus in the academic community, the social community, the civil community, and the political world of men, the answers on who Jesus is, they vary, and none of them seem to be able to tell you who Jesus is according to who Jesus told us he was and he is. Judaism gets it wrong about Jesus because they believe Jesus was a deceiver rather than the promised Messiah. The beginning of believing Jesus to have been a deceiver, it took place approximately one day after Jesus had died on a Roman cross, as recorded in Matthew 26, 27, 62 through 65. And it reads like this. Now on the next day, the day after Jesus died, the day after the preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered together with Pilate and said, "Sir, we remember that when he, Jesus, was still alive, that deceiver said, 'After 3 days, I am to rise again.' Therefore, order for the grave to be made secure until the third day, lest his disciples come and steal him away and say to the people, 'He has risen from the dead.' And the last deception," they're talking about Jesus, "will be worse than the first." It is because of the belief that Jesus was a deceiver in Orthodox or conservative Judaism that if one confesses Jesus as Messiah, they are no longer considered a part of the Jewish community, or as in Reformed Judaism, they are considered apostates, traitors, and defectors of the faith. Islam does not answer Jesus' question correctly as to who he is or was, for they believe Jesus was simply one of God's highest ranking prophets. They do not believe Jesus was the very incarnation of God in human flesh. They do not believe he was the embodiment of God. They do not believe that he was one in the substance and essence of God with the Father, but they believe he was only the Son of Mary. Hinduism does not answer Jesus' question correctly as to who he is, for they believe Jesus was a guru or a teacher of wisdom who spoke with divine authority. Buddhism does not answer Jesus' question correctly as to who he is, for they believe Jesus was the reincarnation of previous Buddhas. Buddhist means an enlightened one. They believe he was a reincarnation of previous Buddhas or enlightened ones who have lived on the earth before Jesus was born in Bethlehem. The Baha'i faith does not answer Jesus' question correctly as to who he is, for they believe Jesus was one of many manifestations of God in the history of man who simply reflected the divine or the attributes of God. Sikhism, you see them with they had the headdress and the men carried some kind of ceremonial dagger. Sikhism does not answer Jesus' question correctly as to who he is, for they simply believe he was a high-ranking holy man. The Jehovah's Witness do not answer Jesus' question correctly, for they believe Jesus was a lesser God created by Jehovah God. They believe Jesus was the first created being created by God. The Mormons do not answer Jesus' question correctly as to who he is and was, for they believe and teach Jesus was Satan's spirit brother. Historical Jesus scholars do not answer the question correctly as to who Jesus is, for they conclude Jesus was simply a Galilean Jew living in a time of messianic and prophetical expectations. They believe he was baptized and crucified to death on a Roman cross, but all other events recorded in the gospel concerning him are mere mythology that gradually developed after Jesus had been dead. Atheists do not answer Jesus' question correctly as to who he is. For many atheists today, they don't even believe Jesus truly existed in time and space upon this earth. Black Hebrews do not answer Jesus' question correctly as to who he is, for above all things, above all other things, to them, Jesus was simply a black man. Most important to them was he was a black man, an assertion that has no scriptural or historical proof whatsoever. Apostolic Oneness Pentecostals, not to be confused with classical Pentecostals like the Assemblies of God or Church of God in Christ, but Oneness Apostolic Pentecostals, they do not answer Jesus' question correctly as to who he is because they believe Jesus had no preexistence with the Father and the Spirit, but he was a mere thought in the mind of God before God created the universe. Then when Jesus was conceived in the womb of Mary, they say he was a real man that God entered into. And therefore, Jesus was one man with two persons living in a human body. And we've been through this over and over and over and in this church. And you are supposed to know Jesus was one person with two distinct natures, the nature of God and the nature of a sinless man. He forever existed with the Father before the world was. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as the only begotten Son of God. Amen. Amen. Apostolic Oneness Pentecostals believe when Jesus, after he was raised from the dead, God did away with his body and then came back in another form or mode known as the Holy Spirit. So they do not believe there's a man in heaven right now forever interceding between us and God. Liberal theologians do not and some cannot answer Jesus' question correctly because their New Testament theological training, it will not permit them. I say this because one of the most influential New Testament scholars was a man by the name of Rudolf Bultmann, 1884 to 1976. Bultmann was a German theologian from the Tübingen school, they call it in Germany. He was a professor of the New Testament at the University of Marburg. Bultmann sought to demythologize the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. In other words, he taught the supernatural acts of Jesus in the Gospels, they are myth, yet they can teach great and useful lessons. Bultmann argued that all that matters when examining who Jesus was is that he existed, he preached, and died by crucifixion, as opposed to knowing any other thing about Jesus. In other words, it was not important to believe that Jesus was one person with two distinct natures, the nature of God and the nature of sinless man. He therefore argued what is important is the thatness of Jesus rather than the whatness of Jesus. He said what matters is that he lived, but the whatness, who he was and what he claimed to be, that means absolutely nothing. He went on to say the way to interpret the New Testament is give it your own meaning according to your own experience. Now, you know, we do that in church all the time. We sit down with a text and say, well, what it means to me is this. And then another person says, what it means to me is that. Let me help you. That's not Bible study. There's one meaning to scripture. Amen. This is what this scripture says. This is what it means. And now let's apply it to life. Now, you and I might be wrong about what it means, but there's only one meaning to scripture and there's many applications. But you know, we don't understand this. We've been infected by the doctrine of Rudolf Bultmann. Let's interpret it according to our experience.
Teach us.
It is for this reason they cannot answer Jesus' question as to who do men say that I am, that I, the Son of Man, am, because they don't think that question is important. Number 14, many professed Christians do not answer Jesus' question correctly as to who he is, for way too many believe Jesus was not God, but only the Son of God. I hear it all the time. Well, Jesus was not God. He was only the Son of God. What they're saying is he was something less than God. And I hear that coming from Christians all the time. He was not God. He was just the Son of God. In other words, he was lesser than the Father. And that kind of is true in a certain sense, but not in the ontological sense. He shared one and the same essence and nature of God. Let me move on today. Many professed Christians do not answer Jesus' question correctly as to who he is, as evidenced by the fact that they don't know the difference between the title Son of Man, the title Jesus most often used of himself in the Gospels, and the title the Son of God. They do not mean the same thing. Most Christians know what either means. Therefore, how can you correctly answer Jesus' question, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Many professed Christians do not answer this question correctly as to who Jesus is, as evidenced by the fact they don't have any idea what the term Messiah means. They have no idea what the Greek word Christos, Christ, means. They have no idea what it means when the scriptures declare Jesus as God's promised Messiah. Number 17, many professed Christians do not answer Jesus' question correctly as to who he is, as evidenced by the fact that they don't know what the term Savior means. They have no idea what the term Savior means and from what Jesus is our Savior. They have no idea what Jesus has saved us from. Many professed Christians do not answer Jesus' question correctly as to who he is, as evidenced by the fact that they give little thought time to who Jesus is. But at the same time, they want you to know who they are. In other words, you know, we don't give much thought time to Jesus. And therefore, they will stumble and stammer when trying to explain the text we're in today, Matthew 16, 13 through 17. And they have a difficult time telling anybody who Jesus is accurately. But they want you to know who they are and why their group is a superior Christian group because of some non-essential doctrinal distinctive such as our music, our dress code, our style of worship, and other meaningless beliefs when positioned beside answering Jesus' question correctly, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Getting it right about Jesus is infinitely more important than your style of worship. It is infinitely more important than your music. We got drums, we got this, we got that. It is infinitely more important than you tearing up the carpet and cutting the step on Sunday morning on some song that's not even rooted and grounded in the word of the true and the living God. Somebody say amen today. Getting it right about Jesus when he asked the question, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? It is much more important than your denominational title. It's much more important than your denominational extent, your denominational identification. It's much more important than how ornate our building is. And we don't have a church. We have a church. We have a campus now. And we no longer have a church. We have a campus with off-site campuses all over the place where we can teach the people absolutely nothing about Jesus. Many professed Christians cannot answer Jesus' question correctly as to who he is because the question is parva questio. I took Latin, so I got to get some usage out of it. It's the Latin term for that's an unimportant question. They think what's really important is who the Pope is. I can tell you who this Pope is. He's a heretic. Somebody say amen today. You can't say that. The man is a heretic. He says everybody is good. The Bible says there's not one good. No, not even one. He says there are various ways to heaven. I think Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to the Father except it be through me. Acts 4:12. There is no other name given under heaven whereby men must be saved other than the name of Jesus. Yeah. They can't answer the question because they're too concerned who their bishop is and who false apostle and prophet so-and-so is. Number 20, many professed Christians cannot answer Jesus' question correctly because they do not come to church to learn who Jesus truly is, but they come to church to shout, cut up, hucking and bucking during the so-called praise and worship service, and go so-called buck wild for Jesus during the various 5 to 10 minute praise breaks that are more similar to how the pagans used to cut up in the pagan temples in the ancient city of Corinth, other than what we read in Psalm 105 or 1 through 5. Make a loud shout to Yahweh. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. It didn't say fall out on the ground, all the earth. Am I in the house today? It didn't say go to the church and get slayed and glued. It didn't say for you to get in and cut up and broad jump a pew. It didn't say to come up here and act like you're out of your mind. It didn't say get up in there and act like we're at the club, running all over the place, everybody doing their thing. He didn't say everybody come in here, as Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians 14, when you gather together, everybody got a song, everybody got a prayer, everybody got a thing, everybody doing their thing. No, it said make a shout to the Lord. It didn't say all of the stuff we are seeing today. They are more concerned about that than knowing who Jesus really is.
Thank you for listening to Understanding the Scriptures with Dr. David Kinlow II, Senior Pastor of Word of God Community Church in Canton, Ohio. Join us tomorrow and continue to grow in your knowledge of God's will for your life. This is a broadcast of Word of God Community Church and Word Central Radio.